you would open with me to the book of Exodus in the 14th chapter this morning. Exodus chapter 14. And we'll begin reading with the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it ye shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with them, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pi Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? It had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. We'll end our reading there this morning, the 18th verse. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, O great God of glory, we thank Thee that as we read this passage, that this is not simply an ancient myth, but this is the very truth of God and what has happened in history. And Thou art a God of great glory and power. And we pray that Thy power would be manifest in the preaching of the Word. And Lord, in the fellowship of Thy people, bless us today. Lord, we pray for the promised Holy Spirit would fall upon us. Thy presence would come and dwell with us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I'd like to draw your attention this morning to the 13th and the 15th verses. But I read verse 14, this is in the middle. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Here we find the children of Israel in a terrible predicament. I'm sure everybody knows what's going on here. The children of Israel had just been delivered from Pharaoh and from Egyptian bondage. You remember, I'm sure the children will remember, all the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. There were many of them. There were 10 of them. There was lice, frogs, terrible things, even boils that were all over the body. And the last plague was, God said, in every home, and even in the animals, the firstborn would die. And finally, Pharaoh let the people go. And remember, God did all of that so that he could show his glory, that he was the true God and all the gods of Egypt were fake. And then the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Pharaoh and out of bondage. And then an interesting thing happened. The Lord told them that they were going to go to Canaan. This is what God had promised. But instead of bringing them the straight route, which would have been, I believe, 3 to 4 days from where they were to Canaan, the Bible says in actually chapter 13 and verse 17, or verse 18, but God led the people about. God led the people away that they never expected. They would have expected to have gone straight to Canaan, but the Lord led them about. And where we find them now is in a place called Pi-Hahiroth. It is a place where they have come to a point. They can't do anything, you see. God's led them, and imagine as God's leading them, they're looking at the mountains or the wilderness or whatever is around them, and they're going to this point, to the Red Sea, and you can imagine they're feeling that they're being closed in. And imagine at that moment, they hear the hoofs of Pharaoh's chariots, and they see the clouds of dust gathering as his armies are coming after them. Perhaps they could hear the cries of the yells of angry men in Pharaoh's army that were ready to kill them. You can imagine Israel thinking to themselves, what is God doing? They look in front of them, and what do they find? The Red Sea. Well, you can't walk through a Red Sea. They look to the left, and what do they find? The right. Perhaps mountains and wilderness. They can't go through that. They look behind them, and what do they see? They see an angry Pharaoh and angry armies coming towards them to kill them. And their thought is, we're all going to die here. What is God doing? Where is God? Has God even led us here? And the Bible says that they begin to murmur. And they go so far as to even say, it was better for us, Moses, to be in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. I tell you, brothers and sisters, it is better to die in the wilderness with Christ than to be full of meat and pleasure with the world, because Jesus is worthy. But there are times, situations, when this happens to God's people. You may think, what is the relevance of this story to our lives? Well, I think the relevance is very pertinent. I would venture to say that just about every single one of us in this room this morning has experienced a time when you don't know what to do and it looks like you can't do anything. Where God has led you into a certain situation where everything around you seems as if there's no way forward. There's no way out. And you don't know what God's doing. This could be something financial. You have been standing for God in your workplace, and all of a sudden, you lose your job. You have a family to care for. What do we do? Has God led us here? It could be something with regards to health. I believed God was leading me to do a certain thing, but now I have this issue and I'm wondering if this is even going to happen now. I've been brought to a point where it's discouraging. And there are many applications of this to our own lives, but I do want to try to speak, if I may, as in an encouraging way to you all as a congregation, who at this time are without a pastor and have been so for a little while. And I am sure at times, perhaps, it would be this way with me. Perhaps you may become discouraged. Perhaps you may wonder, what is God doing? Is the Lord going to bring us through? Is the Lord going to take care of us? Has He led us this way? Even though it seems as if maybe sometimes it's discouraging. Let's face it, people don't flock today to hear the kind of preaching that you want to hear. It can be discouraging in this day and this age. And perhaps even as a congregation. I would like, if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible or writing things down, to consider four words which are Moses' encouragement to the Israelites, an encouragement to me, and I trust an encouragement to you, when everything around you looks discouraging and you don't know what to do. The first two words are stand still. We find those in verse 13. And the second two words are go forward, which we find in verse 15. Stand still and go forward. Stand still and go forward. The Bible says that Moses spoke unto the people, and he said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." These people at this time were so worried and fearful and anxious that they had even begun to doubt whether or not God had led them and wished that they were back in Egypt. And what Moses says to the people is, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Stand still. What does this mean? To stand still is the opposite from activity. It is the opposite of an anxiousness, of a taking everything in your own hands and trying to work it out. These people were perhaps even shaking in their boots, so to speak, as they looked at Pharaoh and his armies coming towards them. And Moses says, "You need to stand still. You need to stand still. Let a calm come over you this morning. Stand still." What is it to stand still? It's to stop fearing and to cease from putting your hands into the situation. Why were they to stand still? Because Moses says, "I want you to see the salvation of the Lord." There's a direct correlation. You stand still because of what you see. Our vision of God affects everything else in our life. There is nothing that is more important about a person than what they think about God. If you don't think much about God, you're probably not saved. If you think wrongly about God, it will affect everything else in your life. And it is absolutely vital for the people of God to think rightly about God and to have a vision of God. The kind of vision that is in the Word of God. A God who, like Moses says in chapter 15 when he's singing, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" This is the kind of God that we need to see. What do you think of when you think about God? Well, Moses says you need to see the salvation of the Lord. This really tells me two things: God's ability and God's purpose. see the salvation of the Lord. I want you to see it, Moses says, right now. Now, obviously, God had not delivered the people, so how were they supposed to see God's deliverance if it hadn't happened? Well, you see, what Moses is saying is, I want you to see it before it happens. I want you to see it now. In order to see it, I want you to see God's ability. See the salvation of the Lord. All the children of Israel know is, I've got a Red Sea in front of me, I've got an impassable terrain to my left and my right, and I have an angry army behind me. We have no weapons, we're slaves. What do we do? I want you to see how great your God is. Who is your God this morning? Is anything too hard for God? You may have a financial issue. This is the God that owns the cattle upon a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. It's nothing for God. You may say, the day is dark and people don't want to come hear the gospel. Nothing's too hard for your God. This is the God of glory. The God who spoke the earth into existence ex nihilo, out of nothing. And when he made the stars, all it says in Genesis is he made the stars also, as if it was just the garnish of the divine upon creation, just to show how glorious he is. This is the God who the Bible says he raises up kings and he bows them. He accounts all the nations as a drop in a bucket. You ever got some, I don't know if perhaps you ever had to get water from a well or anything like that, and you dip the bucket down the well and you're running back, and a little droplet of water falls off. You ever worry about that? And God says, all the nations like a drop. You serve a great God. And we need to have a vision of God. High, holy, and exalted in praise. A God who can do anything. A God in whom nothing is impossible. That's what the Bible says. Nothing shall be impossible with God. With men, yeah, sure, it's impossible. But not with God. And so the Lord can put a man here. The Lord can bless this congregation. The Lord can fill the pews. The Lord can bring the gospel to this city. The Lord can do mighty things, because there's nothing impossible with God. The Lord can uphold you while you wait. The Lord can give you strength in your trials. See the all-sufficient God. We have a vision of God in all His glory and see His ability. Then we also need to see His purpose. Has God led the people here for nothing? Please understand, God never leads you somewhere to leave you there. God has a purpose with Israel. He's going to bring them to Canaan. Everything looks like they're not going to Canaan, but they're going to Canaan. It's interesting, the word Pi-hahiroth actually means the place of freedom. And sometimes God puts us in a box just so He can break the whole box and He can show us His own glory. But He led them, and He's led you. Whatever situation you're in, wherever you find yourself, God has led you. If you're a Christian, if you have trusted Christ by faith to be your Savior, you're not resting in your works, you've repented of your sin, you've been made a new creature in Christ, God is leading you. How do I know that? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the Bible says. You're being led by God. And no matter where you find yourself, you can comfort yourself in this. There's a purpose in it. There's a purpose in it. God is leading you. It's not just an accident. He's leading you. He's going to take care of you. He has a purpose. He's going to care for each and every one of you. He knows what He's doing. He's wise. It's amazing. If you look at Exodus 13, the Bible says that God told Moses, I led them about because if I didn't, they would face the Canaanites and they weren't ready for a war. But the problem is we don't know why God does what he does. We don't know. And we say, Lord, why is it that I've lost my spouse to cancer as a family I know back home? Lord, why is it that you've led me to this place where I'm lonely and I have no friends and I don't understand why? Lord, why have you led me to this job that was, I just don't understand it. No, you can rest assured that God has led you and God has a purpose and God is going to bring you to Canaan. He is going to bring you to glory. He's going to sanctify you. And as a people and as a church, God is going to bring you through. He's going to bring you through. You need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But you can't just stand still. God doesn't say stand still and just stand there. But he says go forward. Now you can't go forward until you've stood still. But you don't stand still and stay still. After you've stood still, you go forward. After you have a great vision of God and all his glory and all his majesty and all his power, and after you understand that God is leading you, you go forward. You go forward. And the Bible says in verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you. Is that your conviction this morning? God is for you, child of God. The Bible says that God is for us. The Lord shall fight for you. And the result of that is you will hold your peace. God will fight for you. I know you can't change the situation. I know you can't see a way through. God can do it. God can make a way through. And the Lord will fight for you and you'll hold your peace. And the Bible says that Moses was praying silently. And he said, the Lord says, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Isn't that interesting? The Lord says, stop praying, Moses. Go forward. Now, I would never say to stop pray. But at this point, Moses was praying and perhaps bringing the complaints of the Israelites to God. And God said, listen, you have your answer. You've seen the salvation of the Lord. You've seen how mighty and glorious I am. Now I want you to go forward. And that's a glorious thought. No matter where you find yourself, go forward. Perhaps you feel, in a personal way, I can't go forward because I'm hanging on to regret. I'm hanging on to regret. You need to see the salvation of the Lord who's washed your sin away. You're white as snow before God Almighty. Go forward. Perhaps you don't want to go forward because of some trial or difficulty. You need to see God's purpose in it. See a sovereign God who has brought this to pass for His glory. And you need to go forward. You need to go forward. Perhaps it's a situation where it's an issue of health and you're worried, what am I going to do? The Lord has led you. If He wants to, He can change and heal you. If He wants to, He can use it for His glory. But go forward. The Lord shall fight for you. Hold your peace. Go forward. Perhaps you can't go forward because you're holding things in your heart against people in the past. I've got bitterness against people. I've got wounds. People have hurt me in the past, and so I can't go forward with God. You see the salvation of the Lord who came down from heaven to earth to reconcile man to God. You see what he's done? The Bible says, for Christ's sake, to forgive one another. Go forward. Perhaps you think, I can't overcome a temptation. Do you see the power and glory of God? You can go forward. But then, perhaps even, as the people of God, What is God's great task for the church? Here, God's great plan was they go to Canaan. What is God's great task for the church in this particular day? Well, I believe it is the Great Commission. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 18, you'll see a very interesting pattern. All power is given in heaven and earth unto me. Do you see the salvation of the Lord? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, it wasn't until the disciples could stand still and see Jesus, the one who had all power in heaven and earth given unto him. That's why it says that first. And then the therefore go. They had to stand still in the sight of a great Jesus Christ. And then God said, go. Go ye therefore. And this is the great task that God has given his church, is the Great Commission. And the Great Commission involves edifying and evangelizing. It does involve edifying. It speaks of teaching, discipling. That's the work of discipling believers. But disciple making also involves evangelism and reaching the lost. And God's great task with his people is to have them fulfill this, take this Great Commission, take the gospel to this world. And just with his ancient people, he brought them to Canaan. If we have this in our minds and hearts to take the gospel, no matter what the obstacles are, God will bring us through. God will bring you through to take this gospel to a lost and a needy world. God says, go ye therefore and teach all nations to go forward, to go forward. This is God's great design. God's intent, if I may say, it's not for a maintenance ministry. God's intent is that God's people in the personal lives not just maintain or in a denomination or whatsoever, but that there's forward movement. God's design is that the gospel would triumph over the nations. God's design is that sinners would be converted. God's design is that the gospel would go through the whole world. What characterizes this age of the church is gospel missionary activity. That didn't happen in the days before the first advent of Christ. And after the second coming, that won't happen. But what characterizes this age is missionary activity. The Great Commission is to be building churches, planting churches, to be discipling the nations, to bring them the gospel. And this is the great vision that God has given his people throughout all of church history. And every church, many churches, this is the same vision. A great vision of God and a great vision of God's work. To take the gospel to those that are in need. And God says, I will knock down every door. I will blast down every wall. I will decimate anything that stands in your way. And I will enable you to bring the gospel to the lost and to triumph in this world through the gospel, to see sinners saved and see the nations discipled. This was what won the heart of William Carey when he went with his missionary work. And you know, when he preached before a group of ministers in England, and he told them, we need to go to the heathen. We need to reach them with the gospel. And after he got done preaching, people yawned and people stood up and they walked out. And William Carey ran down to Andrew Fuller, who was that great Baptist missionary statesman, and he said, bring them back. Will we not do something? This is what captured the heart of those in the haystack prayer meeting as they got under a haystack and they said, we can take the gospel to those in need if we will. And out of that was born, even I believe it was Adoniram Judson who came out of that first missionary movement in America. Hudson Taylor said, God is always advancing. And God's people need a great vision of this. And the thing is sometimes the day is so dark, the times are so hard, that we wonder, can God still do it today? Can God still save today? Can God still bring glory to Himself today? And He can. Great things were done by God and for God in the past. We remember days when there were great preachers. I was talking with the Walters the other night about Bob Jones Sr. and he's preaching. We see what God did in that school. I've seen what God's done in different places. Well, cannot God do it today? He can. And it's not because we're great men. It's because we have a great God, and a great God in whom nothing is impossible. God Almighty is our God. I work with a group in England. England is perhaps the darkest place. And it is so dark, and people don't want to go to church. People don't have anything to do with God. And James Sinker is a missionary that went over there. It took him 7 years to see God really begin to work. But I tell you, today they have 5 churches. In Oxford, the church is packed out because the gypsies have been coming to Christ. There's Sunday school in Birmingham, in a bad part of town, is full with children coming to hear the gospel. They walked in a Sunday school parade down the streets with all their children singing praises to the Lord. When they got there, men told Mr. Zinker, they said, Mr. Zinker, when you become our age, you'll understand. You're young right now. You think something can be done. But when you get to our age, you'll understand. There's not much that can be done today. But God did something. God is working. God is advancing. The gospel works and it has power. I want to encourage you this morning. Now, there is nothing impossible for us, for this congregation, for our denomination, for us individually, with a great and a mighty God. And when we go to take the gospel to a lost and needy world, God promises, I am with you. Even today, I'm sure even in this city, there are right now homes full of children that are not in church, the mom and dad, who are cussing at them, who are drinking, doing drugs. They don't know the gospel. They know nothing of Christ. This is the way it is across our nation. And there's a great need for the gospel, for God's people to go forward. For somebody to say, like Caleb of old, or Joshua of old, I've looked at the Canaanites and I've seen how strong they are, but I see a greater God. A God who will give us the land. So I pray that will be an encouragement to you today. Stand still and go forward. May the Lord bless it to your hearts this morning. Let's end with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee this morning that Thou art our God, that we have such a great and an almighty God in whom nothing is impossible. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help our faith to soar as Thy people, to trust Thee for great things, to see Thee, Lord, use us for Thy glory wherever we are, whatever trial Thou hast brought us to, whatever situation we find ourselves, that we may be enabled to go forward, that Thou mightst be glorified in us. Bless our fellowship, Lord, with Thy presence, in Jesus' name. Amen.